Thank y'all for praying for me. Some of y'all was praying last night, and probably all of y'all this morning. I felt it. That's a good thing. We should be praying, right? If we believe what the Word says, that God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, we should figure out the menu, shouldn't we? Because we're going to eat it. There's always something to eat at God's table, whether we like it or we don't. How many knows you can't always have a cake, lasagna, pizza? Can't always have pizza, Aiden. That boy, I really think he would eat pizza 3 times a day if you would let him. I'm not kidding. Every Tuesday, I ask him, what y'all want to eat? Aiden, he starts smiling. He says, pizza. Every now and then, I'll make him eat something different. But anyway, the title this morning is Walking in the Light. This is going to be part 4. We're going to go down the same lines that we've been going down for 3 Sundays or whatever. This will be the 4th one. And some of the scriptures, I'm going to go back over some of the key verses that I had already. And then we're going to get into where we left off last week. Okay? If you got your Bible, let's look at 1 John. Excuse me, chapter 1. And this is going to be in the King James Version. First John chapter 1, we're going to start reading for time's sake in verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. None, right? So if anything is darkness, we don't need to be telling people that was God, right? That's how we discern when people are telling. Because there's a lot of people believe a lot of bad stuff about God that's not so. And when you listen to them, you can discern. If you know God is light, then anything that is darkness or operating darkness operating in their life, it is not God at all. He goes on here. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, notice what it says. We lie and do not the truth. What's that mean? It means we don't do the word. Right? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the word. I mean the lie. But then he's also, the Bible says in John 1, he's the word, right? In the beginning was the word was with God. Okay, well, all that's truth. Then Jesus said, God, thy word is truth, right? So we know if we're walking in darkness, we say we're fellowshipping with him, but we're walking in darkness. Now, we talked about already, and I don't have time to go back over the scriptures about that, how that light deals with what you know or what you see. Y'all ever been telling somebody something, and they got this look on their face of like confusion or whatever, and you keep talking, and all of a sudden you can see when they get it. The expression on their face changes, and a lot of times they'll say, oh, I see, or yeah, I get it, I got it. Right? What? That's what he's talking about there. It's what you know. Everybody don't know the same thing maybe that you know. Everybody in here may hear the same message, but how many knows there's a Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of you that knows you, knows where you are, and knows what you need to where he can cause you to hear things I didn't even say. So you can't say just because somebody heard it, they got it. But that's what light deals with, what you got. What you know, what you say you know. That's how come it's not good for people to boast about a lot of scriptures that they know and just quote a lot of scriptures because we done talked about it. It's not in how many scriptures you can quote. It's what light do you have, are you doing? If all you know to do is go to church and read your Bible, then do that. And you will be blessed, the Bible says, in your doing. But that's what he's saying there. If you say you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, you walk in ignorance, how many knows that there's willful ignorance? The Bible even talks about it. It means you know what is to do right, but you're going to act like you don't and you're going to choose not to do it. He says there, he said, then you're not practicing the truth. Let's go on here. He says, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, or we could say do not do the word or practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, what's that mean? If we walk in what we know, right? Light is not just for seeing, light is also for walking or for doing. Because when you see it and you don't do it, James says, I deceive myself. I think I'm doing something that I'm really not doing. And that's how come that they was able to say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in your name? Sure, any born-again believer has the authority of God, can cast out a devil. That has nothing to do with what you do. That has to do with what he done. Right? So sure, they could say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not prophesied in your name? That's a gift. You didn't have nothing to do with that. All you done was opened up your mouth, right? So that has nothing to do with you doing the word. But he told them, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you walkers of darkness, right? In other words, he said, I never knew you. I never had an intimate relationship or fellowship with you. He goes on here, and he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, if we do what we know, as he is in the light, because there's no darkness in him, what? We have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with him. Now, I'll tell you something. If you have never experienced it, in times of prayer and seeking God and spending time with him and just doing that, you can come to a place in the spirit to where it's fellowship with you and him, and you don't want to come back. Nobody, not your kids, not your husband, nobody matters, nothing matters, and you would rather just stay there. And the Bible says that as we walk in the light, we see light in his light. In those places of walking in the light, light is progressive. That's how come it's by faith. Because God didn't tell Abraham, look, I'm going to send you out here to so-and-so, Abraham, to this country, to this state right here or whatever, and I want you to do this, and I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to cause you and Lot to split, and I'm going to do all of this stuff. He didn't tell him. He said, get up from your kinsmen and go to a country that I'm going to show you. How many knows what light did he have? Get up and go light. That's all he had, right? So what's that mean? If you're going to walk in the light, what do you got to do? By faith, you get up and go. God, I'm beginning to walk, and I know you're going to tell me. I know you're going to show me because you said you would. So we walk and we live in the light by faith. You can't ever do it in yourself. Because there's so much you don't know. But as you go and you do that, more light came, right? There came a time that God told him, right here, pitch your tent, right here. This is where I want you. So more light came. But no more light would have come. He never would have known what country that was had he not got up and started walking in the word or the light that he had. Neither will you and me. I am where I am today for 30 years of walking in whatever light came to me at the time, and I've not been perfect at it. There's been times that I willfully, because I didn't want to. Right? Y'all have heard the story about Scotty when he opened up the Bible and read that about love your enemies. Y'all remember the story, right? He closed the Bible. I don't want to do that. Light came. He knew. But what did he do? I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. But he asked the Lord to help him because he knew it was right. And the Lord helped him. And you know what happened? He forgave his enemies. And over a period of time and walking in the light that came to him after just forgiving and loving your enemies, more light came to the point to where he wanted them to come to this church. They got sick and he prayed for them. But had he not ever done that, he would have stayed bound in that darkness. You understand what I'm telling you? It's the same way for everybody. There's some people, all the light they have is to go to church and read their Bible, but they willfully will not do it. And you can see them people, if you know them or whatever, over a period of time, they stay just as ignorant as they was at the beginning when you first met them. You know what I'm talking about? You ever seen people like that? And you might think, why in the world, what is wrong with them? Why don't they do? It's just a willful wanting to stay in that ignorance and not do the light that came to you. Doesn't mean they're not born again. Doesn't mean they're not saved. Just means light come and they won't do. So therefore, no more light comes and you stay in ignorance. You stay in darkness. And when you're in darkness, you're bound. Now, He goes on here, says, we have fellowship one with another, us and the Lord. And notice, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then he goes on and says, if we say we don't have sin ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, go over to, let's see. Yeah, let's go to our key verse here, scriptures, James chapter 1. So if we walk in the light, we're going to fellowship with him, right? How many knows fellowship with him changes you? Changes me. I can't get in his presence and not be changed, not see things differently. My, we see light in his light. And the Bible says God is light. Let's say, where is James here? We'll try not to spend a lot of time on this so we can get where I want to go here. I'm going to read these in the Amplified. It says, understand this, my beloved brethren. So we know he's talking to the Christians. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. So get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your soul. Mark chapter 4 talks about the sower sows the word, how that he sows it in your heart, and it says, you got to keep it. What's that mean? I'm going to have to stay aware of it. I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to actually have to do it. And while I'm doing it, I'm keeping it, and it's growing just like a regular seed in the garden. As long as that seed stays in that garden, it will grow and develop, and it will bring you a harvest. But if you let it come out, right, if you go to something else or you quit doing it, it'll be uprooted. Now, he says there that word is able to save your souls, contains the power to save your souls. Notice what he says. But be doers of the word, whatever light you have. Whatever you know, just do it. Obey the message and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Well, I know this, but I feel like this. Right? That's reasoning contrary to the truth. I know what is right. I know to tithe, but my bills. Right? Ain't that reasoning? This right here is your reasoning center. That's what he's talking about. Then you get deceived because you know the word about tithing. You can quote the word about tithing. You believe for the promises of tithing, but you're not a tither, so therefore you're deceived and can't figure out why it's not working. There's no word of God that don't work when you do it. Not a one. He watches over his word to perform it. So if I'm not having his promises, what he said in my life, and I've been doing it over, I'm not talking about just do it one time. I've been doing it over a period of time, I believe, and nothing is happening what he said, I better check up on myself. Because somewhere I'm missing it, I'm not doing it. I may be thinking I am, I may be believing I am, but if it's not coming to pass in my life, I'm not doing it. Right? Just like I say, I'm believing God for debt-free. Well, if I'm not more debt-free this last year than what I was the year before, somewhere I didn't do it. Why? Light is progressive, and he will tell you. Y'all have all heard the stories. I mean, at one point, we were so far in debt. I mean, $1,000 a week, truck payments, $800-something a month, insurance. That's just for that. Trailer payments, all this other stuff. We had absolutely nothing that we owned. Even some of our clothes was on credit cards. To the point where Scotty didn't make a certain amount of money a week. That's it. We're going under. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They call it you live from paycheck to paycheck and you borrow in the middle of the week because you can't wait till the paycheck gets here. Come on, somebody, what I'm telling you. This is not God's best for his people. And I'm not trying to say nothing bad about it. I lived it. And we both cried. Scotty on the back porch and I'm on the front porch. We got to the boy, and no money came that week and different things. And we had this big old screen TV. That's when they come out with them big ones, you know. God, them things probably weigh 600 pounds. Big TVs. Oh, we got to have us one of them. You know, because I am the TV girl. We got to have one of them. Well, Samantha, lo and behold, Badcocks had one. And they had it 0% interest. Woo! Glory, that's got to be Jesus. But the fine print says, you're late on one payment. I don't care if it's your last payment. All the interest you would have paid is going to be put on that last payment. Oh, by faith we believe God, that will never happen to us. He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't He? Be careful with those. He didn't say, I would supply all the desires of your flesh. I know what you need. I know what I want to bless you with. I know what you need for others that I'm going to send your way. So be careful about those. Just quoting scriptures. So lo and behold, we get us one. And Scott, that payment's due that week, and Scotty did not make a dime that week. That's the way it is sometimes when you're in business. For you may go 3 weeks to a month, you don't make a dime, and you're putting out money every day. You better learn how to walk and live by faith. Well, lo and behold, Samantha, there we are. We don't got that TV payment, so all that interest is coming. Guess what we do? This is going different than I thought. Guess what we do? We went to the bank, Sandy. We borrowed the money to pay that TV off. How dumb can you be? You think the bank's not going to charge you interest? I was reading Old Testament the other day. And y'all remember the story about Esau and Jacob. How that Esau, I think his wives was Hittites. He took two of them, and the Bible says that they vexed Isaac and Rebekah almost daily. In other words, they did not get along. Well, so Abraham sends out Jacob to go to Laban's house to get a wife or whatever. I think it's his mama's cousin or something other. Laban was her brother, so Rebekah would have been his cousin. But anyway, Esau, the Bible says Esau heard about that, so he went and took another wife over there where they lived from Ishmael. And when I read that, it's like it just hit me. That is exactly how the flesh is. When we won't walk and live by faith, a daughter from the house of Ishmael is still flesh. She might as well have been a Hittite. I would have been just as well, Sandy, to pay the interest on that. But oh no, we think we're doing something because we go to the bank and we pay it off. Woo! We didn't miss that. We got the TV. Y'all get what I'm saying? Flesh is flesh, and I don't care how you package it up. It can never help you. It will never take care of you, and it will never make you free. Ever. It will get you deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But being a doer of God's word. So anyway, we cried out to God. I'm on the front porch. Scotty's on the back porch, and I mean, we're just a-crying. So God will let you go just as far as you'll take yourself. All the time, He's waiting on you to turn. But He'll never intervene and say, stop right here. He'll let you just go and go and go and go. Till sometimes you are at the bottom and you can't fall no further. And then you'll say, oh Lord, He's like, I've been waiting on you 25 years. Anyway, we're crying out to God. And God is faithful if your heart is true. He begins to speak and He tells Scotty. Scotty's got this big honking silver Dodge, four-wheel drive, you know, all jacked. I don't know why it is. For some reason, it seems like a lot of little guys like big trucks. I don't know why that is. But anyway, surely it's not a compensating thing. But anyway, off of that, I don't know. Anyway, got this big honking silver Dodge truck, you know, and all of this, and I've got a big red one and all that. Dodge truck, big four-wheel drive, leather seats, you know, the whole nine yard. You know, if you're going to get in debt, go for it. Don't get the cloth seats, get the leather. Anyway, and God begins to speak, and He says, sell this silver truck. And we did not know, go, oh no, God, do it a different. We didn't care how He done it. God, just do it, please. See, a lot of times your flesh don't want to get rid of that thing that you wanted. You want God to fix it. You want God to pay for it. But you don't want to do what He said. That's a problem. Because then it's not going to get fixed. It's not going to get paid for. And then you're going to turn right back to the flesh and you're going to do it all over again. See, there's people that said, God, if you'll help me get out of debt, I'll never go in debt again. Lie! See, it's not just about the getting out of debt. You got to stay there. It's not just about quitting the smoking. You got to stay quit smoking. Coming from somebody that about 4 or 5 times. How do I know? I lived it. Because see, if you're going to stay free, you got to keep doing the life that you have. Because any time that you quit, see, there is no, you just get in the boat and it anchors and stays there. The boat is, God told Moses whenever they got to the Red Sea, he said, what y'all crying to me for? Stretch out your rod and go tell the people to go forward. God doesn't have a stop and he doesn't have a go backward. He only says, go forward. Why? Because the church is supposed to be progressively taking ground. In every area of our lives, in our finances, right? We can probably, every one of us in here, quote the scriptures about how we're supposed to be the head and not the tail, right? Well, that's not just going to fall on us. God's already done that, but we have to walk in the light that he gives us to get there. And then once we get, I can't tell you, Sandy, how many times I've been tempted to buy something on the credit since I've been out of debt. Oh, it's just... And it ain't like I don't have some money. I have a little bit. But you just don't want to turn loose of that. It's so easy, Johnny, to go. For 600 easy payments of $300. Woo, it's so easy. And just believe God every month. Oh, gosh, shut that up. You're not believing God at all. So you know what I do, Johnny? I let that fruit of the spirit of self-control work. I look at it. I think about it. What's it going to cost me? I have to get this much out of my savings or whatever to go buy this. Or do I really want to go in debt for this? Do I really need this? Well, guess what? If he said he would supply all of my needs, then why don't I just believe him to do it? Don't go in debt. Believe him to do it. Listen, you're going to have to come to the place to where either we get it by faith or we don't get it. And I know how hard that can be at times. But when you're really in faith, you got peace and you've got joy. When you're in that pretend, the Bible calls feigned faith that he talks about in Timothy, that fake stuff, you are worried, biting your fingernails, trying to figure out how's it going to come. When you're really in the faith of God, you don't even think of how it comes. You don't care. You just know it's here. Now, y'all are holding me up from where I'm trying to go here. God loves us, right? Got people. I'm trying to get off of this for really I am, because I don't care about your stuff. Far as me, I don't care. I want you blessed, hope you do good, but far as in your business, I don't care. I don't want in your business. But God wants all up in your business. And he's trying to tell us this morning, because he loves us and because he's got a plan and places we got to go, things we got to do, people we got to reach, people we got to help, and we can't do it in debt. You got people that are so far in debt they cannot even give what they want to give to the church, to God's kingdom, to ministries. And they think, well, when I get out of debt, that's kind of like somebody said, well, when I get where I can, I'll tithe. You won't never get there because, number one, the light that came to you about tithing is a step to you to get over there. And when you don't do it, no more light comes. But when you do that and you're a doer of it, then more light will come about that. More progressive. You get what I'm telling you? Because see, it's not just about me and you. There is an entire world out here, and God sees everybody at all. We have helped. And this is not to brag on us, because God knows we didn't do it. Jesus, we give him all the glory. All we did was ask for grace to help us to obey whatever you're telling us to. Let's see. Right now, off the top of my head, I can think of at least 4 people that we helped to pay for their funerals. You may think that's nothing, but if it was your husband or your wife, and without a certain amount of money, they're not even going to bury them. See what I'm talking about? That money was not for us. It was to help them. And sometimes you can't just preach at or to people. They need to see the love. They need to know that you care about them. Then their ears will be open to hear something that you've got to say. Because they've heard a lot of preaching, a lot of people. And it ain't the preaching they're wanting to hear. It's the sin. See, you ask a lot of people. Well, we won't say a lot of people. But a lot of times you ask people, you know, and they'll say one of the reasons why they don't go to church, and sometimes it's convenient on their part, and sometimes it's the people at the church. Why would I want to go over there with them bunch of hypocrites? Because they see, they hear us preach, 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 preach. But they don't see a lot of do, do, do. So you don't got to be saved to see all of that. A lot of times sinners know things that the saints should be doing that saints want to act like they're ignorant of, and they're not. So we need to get them reconciled together, and every one of us should be endeavoring to do that with the help of the Lord. Right? By His grace and His mercy, because we cannot do it ourselves. It's the very reason we needed a Savior, not just for forgiveness of our sins, but to live the life that He wants for us to live and that He has planned for each one of us. A blessed life, a good life, a life that cares and helps for others, right? To get to where you are, and then even others that help you get above where you are right now. Gosh, I got to get on with this before we run out of time. Anyway, if you're in debt, endeavor to get out. Whatever He tells you to do, if He tells you to sell something, sell it. He can give you 10 more later on because, see, there's a problem with that thing that you got. It's why He's telling you to get rid of it. It's not that He cares for you to have. Maybe it's you can't have it right now. Just like me with the red, I could have probably 100 of them red trucks now, Johnny. But at the time, I couldn't have that red truck. Why? It had a wrong place in my heart. So therefore, I couldn't get that thing fixed, so I got rid of the truck. Because ain't no truck coming between me and Jesus. But now I'm at the place I've grown and developed to where I could probably have 100 of them, a whole fleet of them, if I wanted them. So whatever He tells you to do, just do it. And then once you get there, exercise self-control and being led by the Spirit. So you can stay there. It's a wonderful thing to be debt-free, that bills never cross your mind. It's a wonderful thing that people need help, and you can be in the grocery line, and you don't got to add up how much yours is and see if you got enough left to help them or not. That you can just whoop out your checkbook or your debit card. I like cash. I carry cash. Scotty carries the other. I like cash. To where you can just whoop out your cash. I'll do that for you. And they don't have to put their baby's diapers back. That's a wonderful place to be. He goes on, he says, for if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. You see, you get light. You know exactly what you look like, right, when you look in the mirror. For he thoughtfully observes himself. Now notice what he says, and then goes off and promptly forgets. You forgot whether you brushed your hair or not. What he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, it's talking about the Word of God. Notice what's the law of freedom. If you do it, it makes you free. Not you make you free. It makes you free when you do it. And is a faithful to it and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. What? He shall be blessed in his doing, in his life, of obedience. Now, Matthew 7. We read these verses last week. We're going to read them again. I'm going to try to go over this quickly and not really explain much here because I got somewhere I need to go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. This is going to be in the Amplified Version. This is exactly what judging means. It says, do not judge and criticize and condemn others. In other words, find fault with them all the time. So that you may not be judged. What? I don't need to judge Sandy because whatever measuring stick I put out to measure Sandy with is going to come right back to me. I don't want none of that. You don't want none of that. That stuff can kill you. If I give Sandy no mercy, or whoever, I'm not saying Sandy, no mercy, no grace, I'm going to get the same stick or the same shovel or the same dump truck. However, I judged her. Oh, but Samantha, if I'll give her mercy and I'll give her grace and I'll walk in love toward her. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, love thinks no evil. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Say somebody does something, well, I'm sure they didn't mean to. And then you got some naysayer, well, yeah, they did. They told me they was. Shh. Just shut up. Let me seem to be naive if I choose to. Had somebody a couple of weeks ago, I'm over there, and I was greeting them or whatever, and they said something to me. I just acted like I didn't even hear what they said, Johnny, and I looked at the other person and started talking, and then I went over there and I said, I don't got to respond to everything you say. If I'm going to walk in love, I got to ignore you sometimes in your ignorance. Why? Because I'm walking in love, therefore I am choosing to believe you didn't mean that. I'm choosing to believe you didn't want to say that. You didn't mean to say that that way. Guess what I'll get? Mercy. Grace. Love. I told you I'm not going to preach on this now. Verse 2. For just as you judge and criticize, listen, and the other person is not going to reap the judgment we're giving them. We are. So what is this? Pointless. Except to the devil. He says, for just as you judge and criticize and condemn, listen, don't even do it to your kids. You will be judged and criticized and condemned, and in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out to you, again to you. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? Because see, what is he saying there? When you're doing this, when you're judging, when you're criticizing, when you're fault-finding, when you're condemning, you're not seeing right. Because Jesus, tell me what sinner he ever did that to. Hello? It was those religious. Those that said they had light but did not walk in the light. Because Jesus told the sinners, he said, do what the Pharisees tell you to do, but don't do as they do. Because they say, but they don't even do. Right? Ain't that what he told them? And boy, he was hard on them. But he didn't condemn. He even said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Right? Then why would we do it to each other? Why would we do it to sinners? The gospel's supposed to be good news. Most of them know they're already going to hell. And kind of like Scotty, his thing, well, I'll party down there with the devil. You don't even know what you're saying. They ain't no party down there. Listen, let's don't finish reading this here. We done went over that last week. Y'all get that right. You're not even seeing right when you do that. James chapter 4. I have got to get over there where I'm trying to get. Oh, yeah, that Galatians 6 there that we talked about last week. He says, ye that are spiritual, right, controlled by the Holy Ghost, restore such a one if he's been overtaken in a fault. If you're going to go do it to straighten somebody out, you better get your beam out. Better create your cross tie out, because that ought to be a clue to you already. You're not spiritual. You're not controlled by the Holy Ghost. Right? He's not a condemner. Right? He convicts. But his thing is about restoring, bringing you back to right. It's never to judge you, to condemn you, or to beat you down, or nothing like that. Now here in James chapter 4, verse 11. How'd I have that? Amplified. He says, my brother, so we know he's talking to the Christians, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. Who's he talking to? The brethren, Christians, right? So if we was to say that today, it'd mean Teresa don't do it to them and y'all don't do it to Teresa, right? Okay. He says, my brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is maligning and criticizing the law. What did we say the law was? It's the word of God, right? He says, and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a practicer, you're not a doer of the law, but a censor and judge of it. One only is the lawgiver, and we know that to be God, and judge, who is able to save and to destroy, the one who has the absolute power of life and death. But you, me, who are you that you presume to pass judgment on your neighbor? See, if I'm judging you, I'm going to stay upset. Because I'd be like, oh, why did you do that for? Well, I guess you wanted to, or thought it would be a good thing or something, right? But I'm like, what'd you do that for? Why did you say that for? You gave them what? I'm upset. Ain't even none of my business. See, I'd save myself a lot of trouble if I just mind my own business. I can't judge if I'm minding my own business, Johnny. Who? God, I don't want to say that. We had a lady here at church come to church. This has been years and years ago. Bless her heart. I loved her. She is something else. Anyway, her ears are pierced. How many in here you got pierced ears? Guy or girl? Scotty, lift your hands up. Most of us, a lot of us, right? At least one time. Well, hers was pierced all the way up to about right in here. And she wore an earring in every hole. And come to find out later, there was people in here that judged her for that. You know why? That's too many. What do you do that for? You hypocrite! You got earrings in your ears. But see, it's what you presume to be. They judge you, Samantha. They got tattoos. You got too many. Good grief, girl. Two or three would have been enough, wouldn't it? Do you just got to do the whole body? Sin! You hypocrite. See, I judged Beth one time. I can't say I didn't mean to, because, I mean, you can't. Not mean to if you do it. I didn't realize that's what I was doing, in other words. Then the Holy Ghost, oh, he's faithful. He showed me. Bless her little heart. Beth is one of the sweetest, naivest people you'll ever meet. I say that in a good way. And I tell her, don't you ever change, Beth. You're nerdy, but I love you. I'm serious. She has one of the most tenderest hearts. Now, she can get stirred up and be ugly, just like anybody, I'm sure. Now, I've never seen it. But anyway, I got to get off of that. Bless her heart, this is before kids. Her and Travis married. She come to church one day, and I'm telling you, her hair, it's pink, bright pink, and it's blue. And she's sitting over there, and Rondé's coming. And me, the religious hypocrite that I am, that I didn't realize at the time, I hadn't seen her, I didn't know what was done. I come in here, and I seen that, I thought, oh my God! Oh, what are you doing? Pink and blue, I am the pastor's wife. What is people going to think about this? Hypocrite. And Johnny, my hair was frosted, highlighted at the time. But now it's blonde. It's blonde highlights. Not pink or blue like them sinners. Ain't that what the guy said? I thank thee, Lord, that I fast twice a week and I give all tithe down to the slightest little mint. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this sinner. But Jesus said the publican, the sinner, he smote his breast and he said, be merciful to me, O God, a sinner. And Jesus said him, he that smote his breast and said, be merciful to me, God. He didn't judge the Pharisee. He looked at himself in the light of God, humbled himself, and Jesus said he went home justified. And the Holy Ghost told me, he said, you're a hypocrite. I thought, are you serious? Say, you can't tell me that, but he can. You hypocrite. I thought, hypocrite, what? What are you talking about? He said, your hair's highlighted blonde. I thought, but that's different. He said, no, it's not. It's just a different color you used. He said, but neither one of you's got your natural hair. You're talking about let the wind out of your sails. I had to repent. And never again look at Beth's hair. It'd probably be that right now, Travis would let her. He just don't let her. Do you get what he's talking about? Listen, you can't just see it. You got to get the spirit that's behind it. Just like the publican and the sinner. The Pharisee, the Pharisee and the publican. He was doing what he thought made him right and just in the eyes of God. But see, Jesus told him over there, he said, listen, he said, you tithe, he said, down to the smallest herb. He said, but you should have done that and not left undone the weightier matters of the law. Justice, God loves justice. Righteousness, love, mercy. Jesus told him, God, he said, it's not sacrifice, he said, that I'm seeking. It's mercy. I got to get over. Oh, we're going to run out of time. I just got about 4 or 5 minutes left. But notice that there. He said, if you're judging people, you're not a doer of the law. You become a judge. Matthew 26. Well, no. Oh, gosh. Yeah, Matthew 26. This is going to be the Amplified version, starting in verse 7 for time's sake. It says, a woman came up to him. Now, to go up a little bit before this, he's at a Pharisee's house, okay, eating supper. Verse 7, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very precious perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were what? Mad. Let me ask you a question. Is this their perfume? Did they buy it? What is it their business? Put this to ourselves today. What's it matter how much toilet paper I use? Did you buy the toilet paper? I'm telling you, these people judge you how much toilet paper you use. Everybody's got an opinion about everything that other people do if you don't control yourself. If I don't control myself. It's just, women are really bad at this a lot of times. A woman walk in the room, we will look at her up and down and judge her right there. We know what you're like, you floozy. Look at that makeup. You look like a clown, you Jezebel. Mind your own business. Did you buy her makeup? What do you care? Why does it bother you? Judge. That's what happened right here. She comes, pours the perfume on them, and they are mad. Let's go on here. Let's see. She poured it and reclined the table, and when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, for what purpose is all this what? Waste. I still got a couple minutes. Waste. Waste on Jesus? Are you serious? Can you waste anything on him? Oh, we build big churches and they'll be... I'm telling you right now, I don't know. We bought this building down here. Didn't they? Somebody asked you, what do y'all need with that? Well, you judge, number one. Did you buy it? Did you pay for it? We don't know what we need it for, but we're just walking in the light as it come to us. Buy that building. Do later with it whatever I tell you to do, right? Well, then we can't be a judge. You can't waste nothing on him. And if it is waste, what is it to you? If you didn't buy it, what does it matter? It should not. See, this is a trap of the devil. Because if he can get you to do this, and it's the nature of the flesh. If he can get you to do this, he will get you judged. Because see, He can't make you do it, but if you'll do it, he will get the end game of what he's looking for. I got to stop because our time is exactly up. Maybe we'll ask Monty, can we have next week? Oh, y'all are saying, please, Monty, come. Monty, come, ain't you? Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment or anything before we close? I'm telling you. Oh, go ahead, Sandy.